Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, today is your day. What we want to do is worship and praise you and give you thanks for our mere existence. Lord, let them realize that you're the way and the only way, that without you we can do nothing. But through you and with you, everything is possible, if it be your will. So, Lord, I ask that you open the ears of the people here today. Because when I walked through the door this morning, you said there was going to be a divine appointment this morning. And I thank you for that, Lord. Because every day is a divine appointment if we seek your face and focus on you. It's all about you, Jesus. And you're all about others. So we're asking you to have your way here today. Because there's people here that have come to do business with you this morning. We give you the praise and the glory. Let these words be your words. And let it be so thick that when they walk out the door and through the week, they'll think about what was said here today, because it's your words. It's the truth that'll make us free. So we give you thanks and praise. And we pray this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is God? When I was growing up, as all I knew was God was up there. But I didn't have him here. I knew of him. I heard about him. I saw all these people going into this building. But it was Sunday morning. I thought it was like a social thing. And sadly enough, in some cases it is. But it's a time for us to hear God's word, to get close to him and know who he is, and know that we're created in his image. Salvation is repentance toward God. If we don't ask for forgiveness, it doesn't show our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep doing what we do every day and expect to change, it isn't going to happen. We're going to be the same. We're going to be in that rut. And I was in it for 40 years. So if it's been that long for you, God is right there, knocking on your door, waiting for you to open it and have a one-on-one relationship with him. For years, I thought that I had it handled. I was making good money. I was in control, and that was the whole problem. But as it says here, show them Jesus. It's because of him, and it's all about him. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we think we can do. It's not, hey, I helped a little old lady across the street, and I opened a car door. I'm a good old boy. It's about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about knowing who he is. He is our Abba, Father. It's like when you have a child. No matter what they do, you want to pick them up and you want to hold them in their arms when they have a scratched leg or they've fallen and hurt their arm or Somebody at school said something bad about them. What do parents do? They love them right where they're at. Just think about that for a second. Our God is here right now looking at each and every one of us, sitting next to us, waiting for us to turn and say, "Hi, Dad. I had a bad day today." Or, "Dad, I did something bad today." And as all we have to do is confess and turn from our wicked ways, and He's there to forgive us. Do you have that relationship with God? And the next question is, would you like to have that? Because He's right here. He is this close to everyone in this room right now. And you're here for a reason. You're here to get your slate cleared of all your problems and your burdens, and to turn them over to Jesus. But we have to have that faith. So we know, if we don't know God, we need to get to know Him. And the best way is His Word. Because it's the truth. The living truth is the Word. It doesn't lie. It doesn't alter. It's the same today as it is tomorrow. Repentance is a twofold action. It's toward God and all He represents, and away from Satan and all that he represents. Acts 20:21.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
And then Hebrews 6:1.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
John 17:3. And this life is eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Again, God is desiring a relationship with each and every one of you. If you'd listen to Him, He's almost begging you. But He gives us that free will choice. I mean, we can do what we want. You know, we can talk about people. We can say that we're doing good. But when we really turn to Jesus and say, "God, I can't do this." When we finally admit that we can't, He will. But He's such a gentle and a respectful God. If you want to live your life the way you're living it, He'll let you. He'll still love you 100%. Just where you're at. But that's where you're going to be. Exactly where you're going to be. Like I said, for 40 years I was in charge. I had money. I knew of God. But down deep, I had this hole that I tried to fill. with all sorts of toys, and I got into drinking when I was young. I got into drugs. But as all that did was took me further than I wanted to go the opposite way and cost me more than I wanted to pay. When I finally realized that God was the only way, He broke me down. He took everything I had through my choices, but He allowed it. And once He took all my money, He took my house, He took that I couldn't work anymore, I had no choice. I had to depend on Him because there was no other way. But it took me 40 years. And God has put it on my heart to not let it happen to you or whoever I come in contact with, because I went through it. And we've all gone through things. But what God wants us to do is learn from it and listen. And if He doesn't tell you anything, don't move. Wait, because He is a faithful God. He will not leave you or forsake you. Salvation isn't just saying a prayer. It's more than wanting to escape punishment from our sin. I mean, when I was young, I would do anything. The worst thing my mom could say was, "Wait till your dad gets home." I mean, I could be raving, yelling, and she would say that. It's like I'd turn that faucet off because I knew what was coming. And it wasn't bad enough that she did it first. But then when Dad got home, I got a double. And sometimes I thought it was almost a triple. But you know, that's what I needed. I didn't like it. But if I would have listened and done what I was told by my authority, my parents, I wouldn't have gone through all that. And that's what God wants for us. He's not out there on every curve you make a mistake going, "Huh, you did it again. Yep, yeah, you did it again. I can't believe you did it again." He still loves us. He's not mad at us. He still loves us like a father loves a son or a mother loves her children. We need to grasp a hold of that. We, like our lifeline, because Jesus is our lifeline. We have His blood. We're created in His image. But we've been through a lot in our lives, and we've made choices. When you decide to give your life to God, you are choosing to accept Him as your God. Not working 24 hours a day, not golfing or fishing or whatever you do. Because work became my God. It was like my security blanket. I knew as long as I was working, I'd make money. And I thought money could fix everything. It doesn't. It compounds the issue a lot of the times. It's a choice to serve and obey Him as your ruler of your life. You're choosing sides. God's over here, A pot of gout on the right side, excuse me. And the devil's over here. We have a choice. He gives us a free will. What are you going to choose? When I used to walk into church, after I walked out of church, I used to joke, I can't go to church. The roof's going to cave in when I walk in. Well, that's what I should have walked. And got on my knees and asked for forgiveness. But I didn't know that. I didn't have a mentor that took me along by my side after my dad died. I became my boss. But Jesus is right there for us. He's right next to you right now. As you're reading the Word, that's Him speaking back to you. It isn't about us. It's about Him. And it's not about being self-centered. It's about helping others. It's about being like Jesus is. Some people think they know God because they grew up in America. God bless America. Well, I don't even like saying God bless America, to be honest with you, because I look at America and see where it's at. The division. The people that are lost. People that agree with the devil. And what do we see on TV that fills our minds? How often do you hear the word of God on television? That there should tell you. I used to watch television all the time. But now it grieves me. If I turn TV on at night for noise, if I sit on my sofa and it's almost time for bed, I'm doing this. Oops, can't watch that. Oops, don't want to hear that. So I end up in a Christian channel. But I noticed last night as I was doing it, it's like I was getting, anxious. I was getting disturbed because my flesh was trying to get out. As soon as I turned it to a Christian station, I got this peace over me. Because let's face it, our world's in a mess. And we are trying to walk through it by ourselves, a lot of people. And you're not going to make it. You need Jesus 24/7. Do you know that if you're walking down the road, sidewalk, or driving your car, and something negative comes to your mind, is all you have to do is call out Jesus and tell Him that you don't want that in you anymore? Do you know? You know, you can grow up in a church and you can hear all the teachings and you still may never meet God. If you're going to choose sides, you need to know who you're choosing. Psalms 145:17.
The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works.
Do you hear that? He's never sinned. He has never thought bad about anybody. he's only done what his father has showed him or told him. Now, some of us didn't have a father that did that. I didn't. And when I lost him at 12, 12 years old now, I got it. At 15, I had a new car. No driver's license, but I drove it anyhow. At 15, I had an apartment. I didn't know God from a donut. But I was making good money. I was making $7.75 in 1970 an hour. When I started in this factory, 2 weeks after I was there, I was making as much as the top man because I was young and I was doing production. And I thought, I got this. All I got to do is work. Well, I made a whole bunch of enemies. Because then after I did come in and did what I did, they wanted to raise the rates of how much work everybody else had to do. So I made it hard on all them because I was in control. Had I had consideration and thoughtfulness, I'd have come in and done my job and instead of trying to prove Glenn could do it. But that's what I knew at the time. And some of you are probably in that same position right now at work, trying to do the best you can. But I realized a lot of it's with the attitude that you're supposed to have. With a smile, with respect, with courtesy, with kindness. No murmuring or complaining. Done all that, and sometimes I still do, but now I ask for forgiveness. If I offend anybody, I try to go to them and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. And that took a lot for me to humble myself to start doing that, because I didn't care who I hurt, who I offended. But once you know who God is, He'll break your heart for what breaks His. You can't keep on doing the same thing when you know that it's all about Jesus and it's not about us. And He's all about others. Satan. In Proverbs 6:16, this is all thing that God hates, but this is Satan. Pride, lying, violence, wicked imaginations, mischief, gossip and slander, deception. But then there's God, and He's love. If we could learn to love the way God does unconditionally, can you imagine if we just started right here with this group? If every one of us in this room could get that, it would be like an infectious disease spreading over the world. It would multiply. And I'm guessing there's 40 people here, maybe 45, I don't know, somewhere in there. But just think about that. If 45 people through the next week was all about others and love the way God loves, the way He loves you, if you would love others that way, what a difference that would make. It'd hit the papers. Because the world hasn't seen that in a long time. God created us for a relationship with Him, so that we would be a reflection of Him. That's why we're here. But what are we reflecting? What are we showing our children? What are we showing the mailman when he walks up? Are we nice to him? We go, hey, you brought bills again. Get out of here. If you got bills, take them home. That's what I used to do to him. He'd come to my house, and he'd try to run up the sidewalk and put it in the mailbox before I got out the door, because I always had a comment. And he'd say, no bills today. He lied. But he didn't want to listen to what I had to say. And then God grabbed a hold of me. In fact, it was right after my heart attack. The mailman come up. I go, hey, how are you doing today? He just kind of looked at me. He didn't say a word. He just gave me the mail and walked away. Well, a couple of days later, my wife told him what happened. Well, then he could understand. But God changed me. But it took open heart surgery to change my heart. They had to go in twice in the same day. Is that what it's going to take for you guys? I hope not. Because every time Brother Harvey prays, fillet me open, I cringe. But maybe that's what we need. We need this sharpness. We need this devastation for us to turn toward Him. And there He is when we turn, arms wide open. I've been waiting for you all these years. Welcome home, my son, or my child, my daughter. Open arms, He's waiting for each and every one of us. Open arms, He's saying, come to me, please. I got on the floor the other night I'm walking in my bedroom. All of a sudden, I'm at my knees. And I'm just thanking Jesus. And then I had my eyes closed, and when I opened up, it was like He was kneeling right in front of me. He was right there with me, listening. And He was probably going, well, it's about time. I've been waiting for you. We're not made to carry burdens, folks. We're not made to do that. Because we can't. We can do no thing without Jesus. And He can do everything. Because it's all about Him. And He's all about others. The way to God. Joshua 24:15.
Does it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Choose. You know, I used to beat myself up that it took so long, and sometimes I still do, to turn from my wicked ways. But it's so simple that we don't do it. Well, I can't stop doing that. I've done it all my life. My dad used to tell me, if you think something, you might as well say it. I remember saying to my grandma, you're fat. She was. She didn't want to hear it. My dad didn't want me to say it. And neither did my mom, because I've got three Lincolns. But what does your real daddy say? Your Abba Father. He's all about love and understanding and wisdom. He's our need meter, our comforter. But do we go to him when we're in trouble? I used to hide in a bottle, hide behind drugs. But the only thing was, when I got done with the high, my problems were still there. But what would I do the next afternoon? Start drinking again. And all I was doing was compounding it. I was soothing my flesh. But actually, I was starting to make my flesh more. I was turning into this glob of a mess. Because I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And salvation is in here. Salvation is knowing when you do something, you know it's wrong. And you go, Father, I'm sorry. I did it again. Lord, I want you to take this out of me, whatever it takes. Now, I prayed that, whatever it takes. And then when he brings on whatever it takes, I'm going, why did I pray that? What are you doing? Why is things so hard? And he'll go, what'd you pray? Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? Well, you know, I meant maybe not quite as much as you're doing, but, you know, just a little bit. It's either you want Jesus or you don't. He's never going to give up on you. You are never going to give up on your wife or your kids. And they're not going to give up on you. That's Jesus. The same with everybody in here. Your mates, your children, your friends. If you love them the way Jesus loves you, and when you hurt them, you apologize, you ask their forgiveness, you're going to have a friend for life. And that's what Jesus wants. He's trying to give you an eternal life with Him instead of the devil. Because if you think your life is a mess now, I can only imagine what it's going to be like without Jesus. The first step is to realize your condition. I'm lost. I'm sinful. I don't know what to do. That's a good place to be. I thought it showed weakness, and I didn't want to admit it. When I finally admitted it, it was like this boulder, I mean a huge boulder, was lifted off my shoulders. Because I knew from that point it isn't what I did. Like I opened doors for old ladies, or I walk them across the street. And then the next thing, I was cussing at them. All right, you old lady, get out of my way, you know. We do that, folks. That's not God. Each and every one of us here today has a responsibility to our wives, to our spouses, to our children, to our mothers and fathers, to our friends, to all of our authority, no matter whether we like them or not. Because, you see, God puts you into a position, or you choose a position, and let's just say you've got a boss that you can't stand. You don't even like going into work. Have you tried praying for him instead of talking about him? Have you tried lifting him up? You have to admit that you're unable to change, your inability. God, I can't change. I've been this way for 40 years. Lord, I read the Word. I'm doing real good. And then somebody pulls out in front of me on my road. What are they doing on my road? Don't they know this is my road? Get over so I can get by. We can turn that quick. But what we need to do is realize our condition. And realize the only way out of it is Jesus. Jesus paid for our debt. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Life, death, resurrection. It's finished. We don't have to live in captivity. There's a way out of your situation. That's Jesus. That's coming along somebody else, having an accountability partner, and say, boy, you know what I did today? Lord, please forgive me. Nate, I yelled at my wife this morning. I didn't want to, but I did. I'm confessing to you because I have to tell somebody. And then Nate doesn't go tell. Do you know what Glenn did? Can you believe what he did? And that happens. And I don't know why I'm bringing it up. I guess this is a freebie that God's just downloading. But when somebody confides in you, that's what it means. It doesn't mean go tell three or four other people. By the time it gets to the fourth person, it's something completely different anyhow by the time it gets that far. What we're supposed to do is, Glenn, let me pray for you. Let me lift you up in Jesus. And then it's not finished. And then maybe we might call the next day and say, Glenn, how you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? That's Jesus. But folks, are we doing that on a daily basis? God is for us. Who can be against us? Smutty face? No. The Bible's, to me, is like two things. To me, this is my nutshell of the Bible. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And loving your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't like yourself, you can't love your neighbor. So if you're in that position, you need to go to Jesus because He's right there waiting for you. God, I can't do this. Oh, you won't believe what I did today. Oh, yeah, I saw you. It grieved Him, but He still loves us unconditionally. And when we ask for forgiveness, if we truly, down in our heart, because I got to bring this in, because I remember I smacked my sister, which was an occasional thing when I was younger, because she was bigger. That was my excuse. But I slapped her one day, and she started to cry. She never did that before. She'd always laugh, and then that would make me madder. But I hit her hard enough to make her cry. Now that was 55 years ago, 56, 55 years ago. I can still see my handprint on the side of her face. It hurts me more now, because then I thought she deserved it. And before my sister passed of cancer, I was able to go to her and ask for her forgiveness. But it was a good 40 years afterwards. And the wages of sin is death, folks. The wages of sin is death. But God showed mercy on me. He didn't give me what I deserved, because He paid for it on the cross. He paid for each and every one of us here today, because I helped nail Him right up there with my sins. But this isn't about beating you up and making you feel bad. It's about knowing there's hope. That our God is bigger than a boogeyman. We need to admit His ability. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, basically it says, there's nothing that He can't do. Nothing. He's not out there going, what am I going to do with Glenn? He already knew what to do. I wouldn't listen. So He had to put me on my back. Or it might have been death for me. I was so desperate that I got up in front of the church. I said, Lord, flay me open and fill me up with You. 2 weeks later, I'm in the hospital having open heart surgery, which saved my life, by the way. But I honestly believe if I had not got on my knees and asked for Him to flay me open and do whatever it took, that I'd have been dead. Because I was going against who He was. But because I came to Him, He answered my prayer. He didn't let me die. He picked me up and dusted me off. He pulled me up out of that marley pit of hopelessness and drugs and booze and pain and lies that I'd been lied to as a kid. But I thought they were true. I mean, when my dad said, if you think it, you may as well say it, I had peace at that. But I want to tell you, I did it for about 10 years. Whew. I hurt a lot of people with my tongue. That wasn't God. But He still loved me. He still was trying to draw me out of that pit where I was. And now that I know what I know, without Him, I wouldn't be here. And neither would anybody here. whether you've had that happen or not. The only thing that's keeping us going is Jesus and His mercy and His love. So we need to choose, folks, today. We need to choose to depend on Jesus. John 1, 12 to 13.
But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
We need to make a decision today, folks, if you already haven't. We need to choose God. Something I realized being ordained as a pastor and thrown in with the lions is how I put it at the other church. Because this was all new to me. But God had my attention. And I wanted Him more than my life at that point. Because He saved me. He brought me out of that pit. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for our Jesus. And then I got cancer in 2010. And the doctors wanted to go in and give me radiation and chemo and all this other stuff. And I, okay, whatever. And then Jesus came to me and said, I want you to have your prostate taken out. Well, by then I was being obedient. My surgeon didn't want to hear that. What are you talking about? You don't know if the cancer's all in there, might be all over your body, blah, blah, let's do this and do this. I go, nope. My God told me to have my prostate taken out. He argued with me for 3 days. Finally, the fourth day, he called me up on a Thursday. He said, be in here Monday. We're going to take your prostate out. Bye. Hung up. Go, whoa. I don't know if I want him operating on me or not. But my God said, have it taken out. And I was prayed over before the op. I had such a peace, the same with my heart. I had such a peace and trust in Jesus. And if I didn't make it, look where I got to go. No more bills. No more tax. But my job wasn't done. It's actually just been started. So they took my prostate out. Guess what? I have no cancer anymore. I've been back twice. No cancer. The doctor just... I said, well, who was right on this one? I can't explain it. I said, that's good. But just think about what happened and what I said to you. Now, I'm hoping that seed flourished. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we get to check out the video. But that was really when I had that cancer, was the first time that Glenn stepped out in faith. And knew that if God's for me, who can be against me? And I wouldn't be standing here today. And to be honest with you, I never thought I'd be standing up in front of a congregation. But it's God's will, and He put it into my heart to try to spread His word. Because for 40 years, I was spreading my word. And I got a trail, looked like a car wreck after train wreck behind me. But as many as I can remember, I went to and asked for forgiveness. Now that was hard. Because if there was a problem in my life, dude, I could go around it, I could go over and under quicker than anybody. But that isn't what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk through it with Him, to conquer whatever it is, to know that Jesus is with you and He loves you unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. Lose your life to find it. And what I mean by that is lose your old ways of thinking. When I was baptized, when I was brought under that water in the resemblance of Christ being buried and being raised up again, I was a new creature. I can't explain it. Is all I know is I know that I know that I know that if I turn to Jesus, He's always there. And I know if I walk in His narrow path and don't get angry, or if I do, Lord, I got angry. Nate, I'm sorry I smacked you. Would you forgive me? Of course, I'd have two black eyes, but would you forgive me? I'm so sorry. That's all we have to do. And whether He forgives me or not, I did what I was supposed to do. At that point, now it's His choice. And that messed with me for a while. Somebody comes up and smacks me, I usually don't take that very well. I want revenge. But I don't want it as much anymore. Because what God has shown me is to look at people the way He sees people. If somebody comes in with a bad attitude, there's a root there why they have that problem. And they need Jesus. They need to be shown love and kindness and acceptance right where they're at, as each and every one of us do. I'll use an example, if I may. Brian and Gene last week had an altercation. At the end of the day, they both forgave each other and are brothers again. That was awesome. That's Jesus. We're going to get mad. We're going to get upset. We're going to be disappointed. But that's our flesh. We're in this body temporary. Our spirit is from Jesus. Or is it from the devil? It's like hitting a light switch. Knowing that I know when I go home, unless I haven't paid my bill, that when I turn the light on, it's going to come on. There's going to be light. Do I know how it works? I know if you touch the two wires, it doesn't feel good. But I don't know the mechanics of it. But we don't have to know. Because all we have to know is Jesus is for us. And without Him, we're lost. There's no hope. Our sin is what separates us from God. So I just ask today that when you walk out of here, you go home, you have lunch, you take a nap, or whatever, you walk outside or you're talking with your family, just remember this one thing. Jesus loves you. And you need to know that He know that you know that you know that He loves you unconditionally. And that we all need more of Him. Isaiah 59:2.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
It's our sin. Now, he doesn't like it, but he loves us. And know that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. But you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to make a choice today, folks. And if it isn't today, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe in the middle of the week. Because it's not a cookie-cutter thing. Each individual is different. But it boils down to making that choice to believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he died for our sins. And if we are faithful and just, he will forgive our sins. But we can't keep on doing the same thing wrong and expect a change. We need to step up and realize it's time to make that decision. And even if you've made that decision, none of us have arrived. I'm a perfect example of a sinner that needs Jesus 24/7. But when I sin, it grieves my heart. And I don't always catch it. But my accountability partners usually do. And I don't mind when they come to me and say, Glenn, you know what you just said? That wasn't Jesus at all. So then I have to humble myself and say, oh, forgive me, Lord, because I have sinned. And then I need to go to that person and ask their forgiveness. It's all about Jesus. And he's all about others. Lord, I thank you for this time, this opportunity. I thank you for your words. I thank you for your truth. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for the people that walked through those doors this morning seeking you. So, Lord, it's time to give thanks to you now. To sing, to glorify you. Thank you for these divine appointments that you've brought here today. And most of all, Jesus, we thank you for you. Amen.